Welcome to CISO's Insiders Podcast, powered by GRC Consulting. In this podcast, we'll be interviewing leading CISOs and security leaders in the industry for light, eye-level conversations. Here, they share advice and tips, talk about their biggest accomplishments and failures, favorite drinks, key influencers, and much more. We encourage you to walk away with at least one insight that will help you better yourself or your business. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy today's episode. For more content, please check us out on social media.
And welcome, everybody. Today, I'm speaking with Aner Israeli. Aner is the current director of security of a company called Torq, and you can tell us a bit about your role in the company in a few minutes here. And looking back to your bio, I see that you've started your way in the cybersecurity space. It might have been called information security back then, as a SOC expert, SOC analyst and a SIEM expert back in 2009. I believe before that you had some background in networking, and you made your way to the ranks, and you were the director of information security at an insurance company. And I see that you held a couple of other high-ranking positions as, SIEM SOC engineer before you landed this current role. But if you could step in and introduce yourself, that would be great.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. Thank you for having me. As you mentioned, I've been the information security industry or cyber security industry since 2009. Started from the SIEM SOC world when worked as a tech integration engineer and later as a team leader implementing the good old ArcSight all over Israel, a few projects in the US, also Africa, and then stepped into the operational leading security at the financial sector, until shifted from the on-prem to the cloud flavor sector, working for the amazing Outbrain when implementing from scratch the automated SIEM SOC based on Splunk and Demisto, which you all know that been acquired by Palo Alto. And then decided to step into a higher level and start my journey as an information security manager for Intezer. And today, working for the outstanding Torq company as their director of security.
Okay, thank you for that. And, typically we don't delve into a specific company too much, a specific role. But did you want just, really at a high level, just to introduce the company and what it is that you guys do?
Yeah, of course. So Torq is SOAR automation tool and company. Based in Tel Aviv and in the US. We're in the field since for a year now, and we are roughly 120 employees, some of them again the US. R&D, IT, security product are based in Tel Aviv, Israel. We're helping company to automate processes.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you for that. And with that intro behind us, we can move right in. And as I like to remind our listeners and our guests, the purpose of this podcast is to educate our listeners and to, give them some tools, whether if they're colleagues or young listeners that, want to join the industry and want to gain some insight about, how this industry works and where to start and how to move forward in this industry. So basically, I'm talking with people like yourself with the hopes of understanding more about your journey, your successes, failures, and whatnot. And before we dive in, I always like to ask a couple of icebreaker questions here. If you're willing to share your marital status and favorite drink, that would be great.
Of course. So I'm married with children, as the old sitcom called. I have two kids, boy and a girl. My boy is 3 and my girl is 1.5. Tough times, but
difficult ages. Yeah.
Yeah. Difficult ages. But they're getting bigger and I see more bright light ahead.
Yeah. I mean, times change, but it's all good. You know, I have a 12-year-old son and a 9-year-old daughter. I remember these ages as well. It was good then. It's good. It's different now, but it's still good. So,
bigger children, bigger problems.
Different problems, I would say. But yeah.
Okay. Well, agree.
So, you know, looking back at your career, is there one thing you wish you'd known when you began it?
Probably invest in cybersecurity or build a company. But frankly, really nothing, because I don't regret anything I've gone through along the way. Absolutely happy with the way I did till now, with the good and the bad things that happened along the way and with the challenges I've gone through. Maybe one thing I wish to change is just start in cybersecurity earlier than 2009. That's all I can say.
Okay. So, and you said you don't regret anything that happened. So is that to say that you don't think of having like any one big failure that has resonated and impacted you?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm also a human being. And I fail every day. However, you know, we're not talking about a significant failures every day. Otherwise, I think I won't be here. But I think that you measure failure by its impact and what you're learning from it. But having said that, I do remember one big failure that taught me a lot. One of the positions I stepped in was to lead a group of tech integrations, which unfortunately wasn't played according to my expectations. It actually took me away from keyboard and forced me to make a dramatic transition, acting more like a salesperson. It will sound cliche, but life is truly learning from your mistake. And what I've learned here, that my passion is tech leading, rather sales. And I'm not a pure salesperson, but I would like to get better there, obviously. But I'm happy with what I'm doing today is the combination of managing and pure hands-on.
And thank you for that experience sharing. And, you know, with that in mind, what would you say your biggest accomplishment was?
Well, I would say making transition from the corporate world to the startup cloud area, which I found truly exciting. That was a dramatic turn in my career, which I'm happy that I've done. Of course, this wouldn't happen unless given the chance by people recruiting me. I can say that the corporate is greatly different from the cloud in terms of technology, attack, and defense approach. All that brings to me to the accomplishment, which is truly that I love what I'm doing. I love my job. Every single day I'm waking up, just waiting to get stuff and just making Torque secure.
Okay. And I did want to ask a follow-up questions on my few last questions here. So you started your career as we mentioned, as a SOC analyst or a SOC expert, and you know a lot about, you knew a lot about SIEMs at the time and all that, and you've integrated a lot of these products. I believe you mentioned ArcSight as one. Now I can only assume that your role now entails much broader, you know, spaces of expertise, possibly, you know, application security, working with the DevOps, SecOps, and all that. Now, what I'm interested in is that transition. Like, you know, you were on a specific route, like, you know, you did SOC, SIEM, and all that. And at some point you stepped aside and, you know, you had to learn somehow. And I'm interested in that aspect. Like, what did you do to help you in that transition into stepping and uncovering new worlds and new realms in cybersecurity, like application security and DevOps and all that? Does that make sense?
frankly, along the way, I even took a development course. I studied .NET for a year and a half, which helped me greatly to make huge impact on monitoring and data harvesting next to the SIEM/SOC capabilities, which was somehow narrowed, but not a whole. And that opened my mind to, you know, new worlds, new aspects, to build some mid-size programs for API invoking, data harvesting, parsing, and mostly for enrichments and enhancing SOC decisions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you feel that helped you, like that background and that work that you did, that helped you in landing your role as a director of information security?
Absolutely. When I played the role at Outbrain, that was the kickoff for what I am today, making again the transition from the on-prem world to the to a whole different ecosystem, more kind of a DevOps ecosystem, Linux, Mac, a lot of Python around, and of course dealing with, you know, Splunk, which is amazing tool, and next to the Misto, make me to embrace the Python skills I had, and it's all make me ready for being better around the IR world, incident response world, and getting me today, you know, working with dog fooding, actually, with an automation kind of tool that respects the IR processes.
Got it. Thank you for that. Yeah, I was looking specifically for that, experience share from you. Now, what advice would you give out to someone who wants to pursue a career similar to yours or any career in cybersecurity?
Well, I think that there aren't any shortcuts, but you can't really complete, there are CISO courses around, and I think you can complete a CISO course and immediately start working as one. But I think that before you become a CISO, I believe you need to make sure you're familiar with the fundamentals, like how computers work, seven layers, networking, and so forth. And additionally, I would recommend focusing on hands-on positions, like I did, because knowing stuff theoretically, I think, isn't enough. Additionally, I would recommend learning, as I said, development languages and start from the SIEM/SOC world. And I think the main reasons for that is if you learn a dev language, I think being a security with a dev knowledge and capabilities open your minds to applicative issues. Suddenly know how code works, what's the risk, and are in insecure development, and above all, understanding low-level kind of issues. Additionally, it expands your independence and creativity to build tools, scripts, and as I said, mid-sized programs. I can testify that this is exactly what happened to me. I started building many mid-sized programs that help us pursuing more complex use cases around, as I said again, data enrichment, invoking other API endpoints. For me, it started from the C#, then shifted to Python. And I think I can add another other recommendation is starting from the SIEM/SOC, because when you work as a SIEM integration, you actually understand the concept of of event lifecycle, let you mastering lots of technologies aside to monitoring, parsing, correlate events, and actually build alerts and visibility controls.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, that's the one of the reasons that a lot of entry level positions that people start off their career is being like SOC analysts and SOC experts, and, you know, getting to know their way around the SIEM products and whatnot.
That's the place to start from. Mm-hmm. I think I would highly recommend it.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for that. Now, I'm not sure how it is in within your organization, but in some organizations, and, you know, we see the trend, especially here in the U.S. right now, that a CISO role is mostly, I mean, there's a transition where the CISO role is, in most cases nowadays, reports to business function, and it's actually separated from the IT. And again, not speaking about your specific organization, but what are your thoughts about positions where companies where the CISO actually reports into the IT organization?
I don't believe CISO should be reporting to IT, as it deals with a greater aspect in the organization. I believe that CISO and IT should be peers, you know, in the same levels, or in some circumstances, like, I don't know, the company size, IT should be guided and reporting to CISO. Having a CISO reporting to IT will probably narrow him down, as the CISO is, I think, an all-around player. And as such, he must be engaged with every aspect in the company. Having him superior to IT will, I think, actually will make it happen.
Yeah, okay, and thanks for that insight here. Now, as we've touched on the next topic slightly, but, growing in this industry, you have to learn a lot, and you have to a lot of the time learn on the fly, especially in Israel, and enrich your world and learn new topics every day. So what did you do, and what resources have you used that have helped you? Like, are we talking about mostly self-learning, certificates? I know you mentioned some courses that you took. Maybe you can elaborate on that.
Yeah, of course. It's funny you mentioned, especially in Israel, because I had a boss who told me, on the way to the customer, read the PDF. So you know what you should do.
That's the industry. That's the industry best practice in Israel, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Read it on the way while driving, by the way.
Yes. Well, I think there are many, and are trying to engage with everyone, like mentors and colleagues I currently work with or worked in the past. Needless to say, online resources such as courses, Twitter, YouTube, and mostly lots of hands-on work. I think there isn't replacement for pure hands-on work yourself. On the resource aspect, I would recommend, the apps like News Aggregator, such as, I think, Feedly is one. It's aggregating cyber news from a variety of online sources. And on the other hand, there are many, Telegram channels pushing news and events. Again, there are many resources. The trick is, to avoid being flooded, because that can be done easily.
Yeah. And what's the importance of community? Like, what I see here in the US is that a lot of CISOs that I speak to have a supportive colleague, communities, local groups of, CISOs that just meet for lunch or anything like that. Did you have anything like that?
Yeah, actually, I have one group of SecOps that I'm administrating and managing with another friend. And we have, I think, something like 90 SecOps from Israel. When we are discussing and having meetups around the dev SecOps and SecOps topics. Also, I'm partner and member of I would call it the Cloud CISOs here in Israel, aggregating leading CISOs from JFrog, Sunbeer, Lemonade, and Iron Source. which I learn a lot from, and hopefully I'll also make some contribution there from my knowledge. And yeah, and another group, which is a broader group of CISOs, mostly from the corporate world, but I'm mostly focused on the cloud CISO groups where I'm actually naturally belong to.
Got it. Okay, thank you. Is there one common myth about this profession that you wanted to debunk?
Yes, that security is the CISO's concern only. If you're part of a company, you have a responsibility to keep the company stuff safe. I would say that it's a shared responsibility, you know, like the shared responsibility concept with the cloud hostings. But I'm greatly aware that not all employees are harnessed to this concept. However, among the other hats I wear during the day, it's part of my job to get them engaged and prevent, you know, boring and long textual decks, make it sharp and to the point with videos and matrix, and contribute greatly to their awareness.
Yeah. So the main takeaway here is basically security is not the sole responsibility of the CISO. It's you know, it's an underlying, it's the foundation of every company. And as I'm just interpreting what you said, right? And yeah, as in most companies, decisions are driven through a risk management sort of practice, and there are specific owners for that risk. And the CISO's role is mostly to, you know, identify and discuss with the risk owners, but, you know, it doesn't mean that your job is to eliminate all risks, because that's not, that can have, get, can't happen. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you know, the weakest part and for a company is the end user eventually. And you need to make efforts also there, making sure they are aligned, they know the policies and they are trained. And again, harness them to the, you know, security concept.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and this answer leads me to my next question, which is, in your opinion, what are the most important skills that CISOs nowadays should have?
Well, I think that there's a different answer for, I would say, a startup kind of CISO and a corporate one. Naturally, startup CISO is, most of the times, a one-man show. And he doesn't necessarily have enough resources to hire team members. So from my perspective, such a CISO should be equipped with a variety of skills, such as, I would say, technical knowledge of cybersecurity technologies. I would also say that he or she, of course, should come with a hands-on experience. Is knowing stuff only theoretically is not enough, and you must harness your hands-on skills to implement technologies, as, again, you're the only one who will actually do it. I also think that CISO should have tremendous understanding within the IT area, as the IT is also a key for a great security. Secondly, of course, leadership and management skills, as CISO should drive other stakeholders in the company, like R&D and DevOps, and having project management skills, budgeting, and you know, keep your eye on the ROI. there's a rhyme for you. And handling risk management and decision making, because, you know, in the end of the day, risk management will help you figure out your work plan, or at least from where to start tackling stuff. Least but not least, compliance and regulatory knowledge. A CISO should have an absolute understanding on the compliance and regulations applied on his company, as many of his actions, resources, and budget will derive of it.
Okay, thank you. Got it. What do you think we will see in the cybersecurity space next?
Now to due to you know, I know if you call it, I call it small earthquakes on the world economics. Some might say big earthquakes, or the situation we are at. I believe that companies will be more cautious with their money and expenses. Perhaps company like high risk and low value will find some hard times to join the industry, or at least I know, find some hard times to attract VCs. And it's known that the cyber industry is lack of working hands. Now with the economy situation, the gap expands and there will be fewer working hands, you know, with the layoffs lately, which I think will extend the need for machine work, like obviously automation.
Yeah, so so in terms of technology trends, you're leaning towards automation, and obviously we're talking about you know, the economy and then the market situation right now, and yeah, but automation, you know, that answer I get a lot, and you know, it's interesting to see where we'll go from here, especially with new technologies emerging like the chat GPT and AI and all that. Okay. Interesting. And have you noticed, you know, any trend in budget planning? Like if we're talking about a pre-COVID world and to a post-COVID world, because I believe that in Israel, for the most part, you know, the market reverted back to what it used before, right? Like what it used to be before, like going back into the offices for the most part, right?
Yeah. It made a transition, and I think it's possible that companies will no longer throw money, you know, in favor of eye popping and attracting talents. I think there's a change here. again, firstly, because as I mentioned, a lot of talents has been released to the market lately, but also because I believe this year was a turning point, as you just said. And throwing money at office attractions is not a smart move. With regards to, you know, we're dealing with security, so with regards to security budget, general situation which affect the company as a whole, it's obviously affects the company's team budget. I think that CISO will focus on utilizing budget on the most risky points. Where at the nice to have stuff, they will have to find alternative, and maybe embrace open source kind of, you know, applications.
Yeah, you know, I've noticed that trend from a vendor's perspective. We've noticed a lot of companies that are either like holding some of the less than necessary projects and trying to remove some of their current vendors or consolidate and all that. So I've began to see that trend probably back in November of last year of 22, and we're at February right now.
I know that at Torque we are putting an effort on also on FinOps, you know, making sure we embrace our stuff to make sure we save money, you know, from, let's take the onboarding and offboarding perspective, you know, making sure that seats are released and we're not overpaying for employees that left and we didn't remove them from the application they were subscribed with.
Changing, you know, for a quick change of direction here, let's talk a bit about vendors, not too much. Now, I know there's a, you know, growing trend in the industry that vendors bombard you with whatever, like messages, LinkedIn, emails, phone calls, cold calling. And cold calling, it's pretty bad here in the US. And I think it's probably bad in Israel as well, as far as I remember. So, like if you were a vendor, and I believe your company is a vendor in some sense, but if you specifically were working, you know, as a sales individual or as an account executive for a vendor, what things do you think you would avoid doing? And how would you, you know, let me rephrase, how would you go about in trying to really make a difference and connect with a potential customer?
Yeah. I think I'll make sure on a few things. That first of all, that my solution obviously bringing value to the customer, and that my solution actually resolving real pain or a risk, and that it's not generating, you know, vice versa, it's not generating high risk signature to the customers' assets and the data. And if it does, then make sure I compensate them with the best security practices. And of course, build my infrastructure with security in mind first approach. And for that, I would highly recommend, you know, bring a CISO or a security guy from day one to the company. And that's not what startups usually do.
Okay, that's an interesting advice. I know some companies do it, but as you said, it's usually not your first hire when you run a bootstrap company and you want to save on budget. Well, yeah. That's a good advice.
I see a transition in the last year and a half that startups understand the need that security position, you know, especially if they need to complete the SOC 2 compliance or the ISO or the GDPR. They need security to handle that and make them go through this.
Yeah, but you know, looking at the market trends and the cutbacks, I think this is we actually see a transition in a lot of startups that don't want to hire a full-time CISO, but want to, you know, hire like a fractional CISO or virtual CISO, what we call it here. So you know, that allows you to walk like a fine line between, you know, spending all that money and but still having some support.
Yeah.
So considering the answers for your last question, what is it, if you could, you know, articulate and just, you know, drive in a few points, what is it that you are looking for in a vendor?
So we mentioned value. So again, bring high value. Don't create unnecessary risks for me. Try to be intuitive as possible. Have a good support. Be fast responder to question I have. I think this is it.
Okay. Any people, colleagues, you know, anyone at all, doesn't have to be colleagues, that you look up to and have been influential to you?
Yes. Frankly, most of my past bosses were people to learn and be influenced of. Not all, but the most. You know, they say that people leave their boss, not their work. I truly believe that. I've been blessed working with people next to people like, perhaps you know him, Dory Fisher, which is a SIMSOC master. Also had the high privilege to work with a guy named Shai Kirschenboim, which taught me how to manage. Shai Feinberg, which is today's SunBit CISO, but a few years ago accepted me to his team in Outbrain and gave me my life transition opportunity. Another one which I greatly admire his professionalism is Shachar Maor. He was a CISO of Fiverr. And really today, my current leaders at Torque offer Leonid and Eldad, which I learn from every day. And as I mentioned before, you know, additionally, I've been blessed to be a part of the great CISO Cloud community here in Israel, which I learn from every day, almost every day.
Thank you. And I believe your current CEO used to run a relatively big security operation in one of the banks in Israel, if I remember the name correctly. Yeah. Got it. So what's the best way to connect with you online?
I would say LinkedIn sounds like a good way.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm usually responding back, not ignoring.
You're a better person than I am. So, and my final question, which is a bit personal in nature, if money was never an issue, what would you do with your life?
Stop worrying how to provide my family, and I don't know, moving to a nicer house, buying my dream Jeep. Investing in cybersecurity, of course, and you know, even donate to the weak.
Okay. Thank you for that. And you know, with that, I will let you go. I know it's relatively late in the evening right now for you. And thank you again for your time and for the honesty and the responses that you've provided. Hopefully your answers would provide some value to our listeners. It was a pleasure having you here.
Pleasure, likewise. Thanks all for having me.
Thank you, Renner.